Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
Yes, you're going to do...
Mrs. Carol.
Yes.
Where are you, Carol?
Carol, come on up. Hey, give Carol a hand, everybody. Would you? Leave that, Carol.
Thank you.
You know, we've all been given such terrific gifts in our life. But the greatest gifts that God has given to us are the people that are in our lives. So easy to get off track and start thinking that this is about something else, you know? That we can chase all kinds of things in this world. But you know, there's only one precious commodity you're going to take to heaven with you, and it's people. We all go in and out of each other's lives depending on the circumstances of our lives. There's people all around us who actually need us pretty desperately. And I'll never forget when my buddy Andy Anderson was dying. He was on his way for a last-ditch effort, some strange new treatment for pancreatic cancer. And he left me a voicemail that I kept on my phone for probably 10 years. He said to me, "Tom, Ruth and I are on our way to California for some," he called it a hippie treatment, "some hippie treatment she talked me into. It's the last thing they can do for me." He said, "I'll either see you here or I'll see you in heaven." And then he closed with, "I hope you're doing good today too." And he hung the phone up. Last time I ever heard from him. Well, so go back many years from that. It was about 53 years ago. I know, do the math. It was a sunny day. I was briskly walking down Telegraph, going to the Tel Huron Center to the Kresge store, because my heroes, the Beatles, had just released, I think, their greatest album called Rubber Soul. And in that, there was an incredible song, "In My Life." There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better. Some have gone and some remain. All these places have their moments with people and friends I still can recall. Some are dead and some are living. In my life, I've loved them all. But of all these friends and loved ones, there is no one compares with you. And as memories lose their meaning, as I think of love as something new, though I know I'll never lose affection for people and friends that went before, I know I'll often stop and think about them. In my life, I've loved you more. Soon we'll come to the end of life's journey, and perhaps we'll never meet anymore. Till we gather in heaven's bright city, far away on that beautiful shore. If we never meet again this side of heaven, as we struggle through this world and its strife, there's another meeting place somewhere in heaven, by the beautiful river of life, where the charming roses bloom forever. Separations come no more. If we never meet again
this side of heaven. I will meet you on that beautiful shore. I'll meet you on that beautiful shore.
Thanks.
You are old.
Yes, I am.
True. It's true. So, you know, it's at moments like this. I mean, you start thinking, I want to be able to live a really thankful life. It's Thanksgiving week, right? You want to know how to live a life and then look back and be very grateful. Because it's not about the stuff. And the stuff is great. I mean, God has blessed us. The Bible says he's given us all things to enjoy. That's pretty great. There's no reason to feel guilty for what you have. But if you really want to live a life where you can look back and be grateful, it's the relationships you have. It's the people that you love. And so we're going to begin in this section in Matthew. So there's only one thing you can take to heaven, and that's people. And God's called all of us. If you belong to Jesus, if you've trusted him as your Savior, I mean, you've got a different calling on your life than other people. Now, you might say that your calling is engineering or medicine or mechanics, you know, auto mechanics. Maybe that your profession is investment or whatever it might be, construction, whatever it is. That can be a calling in your life, but there is the calling in your life to be who you are, a child of God in this world. And that means that you're called for something else. My dad always used to say to me, look, I can be disappointed with you and it's okay, but if you disappoint your mother, I'll kill you. That's what he used to say. He used to say, never forget something. You're a Hampton. You're a Hampton. You know, you're a believer. Never forget that. No matter what your secondary calling is, your number one calling is to represent the family, right? And we're all called to do it. It's all very important. But we say, like, how, though? How do I begin? What do I do? How do I learn to love people? You know, you might have come to Christ and been a real curmudgeon. Now you're a curmudgeon for Jesus, you know? I met a bunch of those, okay? There's a bunch of them. Look like they've been weaned on a dill pickle, you know, no matter what. They're just so difficult to be around. They're angry about everything. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus has saved you. Not because you're worth it. Because he loves you. And he's given you a great example. And so now it's time for things to change. And you actually start caring about people. About the people around you. But the good thing is God has already equipped you and given you everything you need. It doesn't feel like it. You don't think so. But I'm here to tell you, it's really true. 2 Peter 1:3, in his divine power, he has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. If you know him, you got everything you need. And let me give you a few things that you do have that are going to be a tremendous help in you loving people. I have so many relationships everywhere, so many people. And it's not because I've been a pastor. I hope it's because I've been a friend. And that's the calling of all of us. Let me give you a couple things. Okay, Matthew chapter 9. Number one, you've received an infusion. You've received an infusion. Let me read this to you. Beginning at verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom of God, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. And the idea for send is to thrust out workers into the thing. That's his heart. And if you know Jesus and he lives in you, that's going to come out. You've received an infusion of caring. You're just not going to be able to help it. It's just because of who you are and who you belong to, you're just not going to be able to ignore them. That might have been your old way, but don't worry, he's going to change that. He's working this way out on you. I love guys from the South. They stand up when a lady comes in the room if they've been raised right. They hold the chair. They open the door. They're kind to old people. I mean, the whole, it's just a beautiful, beautiful thing to be around some Southern gentlemen. But you can tell what they're going to do before they even do anything. If they talk, oh, you know they're going to be a gentleman. They got that draw. I can't do that. I got all these Southern boys that are friends of mine. They are gentlemen. And whenever they got the draw, I know something. I know where they're from. I can't understand some things they say. You know, they say weird stuff. Like if you're going to turn the lights on, they'll say, cut it on. Cut it on. Cut it off. Cut it off. What are you talking? You know, turn the light off. Oh, okay. I know what you're talking about. They've got some weird thing. But when they have that accent, you just know where they're from. You know where they're coming from. Now listen, you belong to Jesus, and there are things that have been put in you that are just going to come out, and people are going to know where you're coming from. You can't help it. It's just going to naturally happen. You know, one of the worst jobs you can get is a writer at some company, you know, to write their manuals for stuff. There was a guy that worked for Rockwell. He was a writer for their technical stuff. That's exciting, you know, all that education to be a creative writer and you happen there. And it's not an easy place to be, and it was really, really an ugly job. But there was this kid that had just come from Yale, thought he was going to be some big famous writer, and he ended up getting a job at Rockwell writing this drivel, okay? And it was really hard on him, and he was going through some really difficult stuff in his life. He had some trouble in his family. His uncle was dying. He was really burdened about all of it. And this worker, who was a Christian in that tough place, couldn't help but just notice that this Eric was struggling. So he talked to him about his uncle and about his struggles and about how lonely he felt in the midst of that job. He hated it and didn't know what he was going to do, all that stuff. But one day, this guy, this older writer, couldn't help it. He just said, look, come here for a minute. You're burdened for your uncle. Can I do something really weird? Can I pray for you and pray for your uncle? And this Eric guy was hungry enough to say yes. So they went in a little like storage unit. And this guy prays for Eric. That was the moment Eric's life started on a whole new journey. Ever heard of Eric Metaxas? Okay, the writer of Luther, the writer of Bonhoeffer, the writer of the book Miracles, the writer of Seven Women, the writer of Seven Men, the host of Socrates in the City, which is this wine and cheese event in New York City where they bring in these Christians to tell their stories, and it's a great thing. Well, that's Eric Metaxas. He started as this frustrated kid who didn't have a clue about his life, but somebody working in a very difficult job loved him. And he said it blew him away that this older guy would actually talk to God like he heard him, that he was real. And it started him in a whole different trajectory of his life. This guy just couldn't help it. He had to tell Eric. You're not going to be able to help it either. I mean, it's just going to happen to you. Let his love and care for people flow through you. It's just going to happen. You've received an infusion. Isn't that an interesting thing? I'll give you a second thing. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, the book of Ephesians. I know usually when I speak, I've got one thing and I walk through a whole text, you know, but today is different. Not only have you been given an infusion, but you've been given an example. I mean, you have personally lived out the greatest example of all. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Get this. Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children. Is there anything more precious than watching little kids imitate the adults in their lives that matter to them, their dads and their uncles and all of that? There's nothing more beautiful. We're told to be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. The way Jesus sought you out and cared for you is exactly what we need to do for other people. It takes patience. Does God not have patience with you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We think we're selling insurance. And so if I'm going to do a Christian thing, I'm going to hammer people with the gospel, right? Do you know sometimes people can't handle that? They just need to be loved. They're not going to be able to hear what you have to say. You ever been around drowning people? That's a scary event when someone is struggling in the water and someone's trying to save them. One of the few times there ever was a bunch of us little fat kids in Pontiac learning how to swim in the old YMCA a long time ago. And there was this little Jewish kid, all, you know, that came with us too. He was a cute little guy, really sweet, terrible swimmer. And when he got under pressure, he didn't do well. And so on the last day of the big swimming class, all of our parents came and sat in all the bleachers. And we all jumped in one by one with our announcement, you know, this is so-and-so, and you jump in and swim, and everybody cheers. Well, my little buddy jumps in and went right to the bottom, okay? And he was a big boy, okay? You know, he's well-fed. His mother loved him. He was a big boy. His mother is in the stands. Save my boy! Save my baby! You know? So my friend is drowning, and I can remember the instructor just standing on the side of the pool. Nothing. Save my baby! Well, the kid went up and down three times before the instructor jumped in and rescued him. The reason he didn't do that is he said, you got to let him drown for a little while. He's still too strong. He'd drown both of us. I got to go and let him get a little bit weaker before I go in and get him. Drowning is a tough thing. And you know the worst thing to try to do is try to negotiate or shame or talk down to a person who's drowning. Somebody's drowning. And what are you going to say? Hey! You know you're drowning. No kidding. I know I'm drowning. You know, if you would just swim, you wouldn't drown. I know, right? I mean, if you would just try a little harder. When someone's drowning, they do not have the ability to swim. People all around you who have no idea who Jesus is or who it is that you know and believe in, they have no clue. They can't swim. They don't know how. They need to be shown, not shamed. Seriously, you guys, we talk at people. Listen, sometimes we use the Bible like a club, like a bullet to be right, instead of a balm to help others. Somebody that I love very much, who I so desperately want him to know Jesus, had some idiot Christian walk in his business. And he proceeded to tell this customer that his dad had died in Iran, had gone back to see the family. And this idiot Christian said, he's in hell today, man. You know, you're not supposed to hit people, but I think there should be permission for that, to where you can just hit them one good one when they talk like that. So my friend said to me for months, I tell you what, after that, I could never be a Christian. Do you know, the Lord said of the nation of Israel, the Gentiles blaspheme God because of you. We're not here to pound on people. We're here to love people. And we've been given this great example. I mean, Jesus was there for you. He is always there for you. He was so patient. He helped you understand slowly as he loved you to trust him, right? Brought you to trust him by his great love and patience and all the rest of that. My buddy Vince Sadovsky passed away this week. Maybe you've heard of the Rochester Folk Studios in Rochester. Vince was an incredible guitarist, great banjo player. He was the Canadian, I've told you this before, but he was a Canadian national banjo champion. So I was at Vince's store years ago. This old pickup truck pulled out in front. An old rusted out pickup truck from Kentucky. You know, everything was rusted out, like the back bed, the sides were like waving in the breeze and everything. This good old boy came out, had a cigarette in his mouth, had his banjo case, walked into Vince's studio, put his case down and said, are you the Canadian banjo champion? He said, yeah. The guy flipped his case up, opened it, took his banjo out and said, let's just see how good you are, okay? And Vince did something great. He said, get out. He threw him out. It was great. What I love about Vince, whenever I would be around him, he'd say, play me something. And I'd play him something, and he would say, look, try this. Instead of this, try this. No, not like that. Like, try it again. Go ahead. He'd sit back. He was always complimentary, always patient. You know what I felt like when I was with him? I felt like he loved me. His patience was incredible. God wants to do that. Love is what? Patient and kind, right? I mean, it's so important. That's Jesus' example to all of us. We can be impatient and use the Bible on people, or we can love people, and when we have opportunity, tell them the truth when they can hear it. You've been given this infusion. You've been given an example, and oh, hey. Do you know you've been handed a complete encyclopedia of what to do? Like, you might be in some relationship. You say, man, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know. It's just terrible. I don't know what to do. You know, I don't know how to help them. I don't know what to say. Well, Jesus said something very interesting in Luke chapter 6. It's verse 31. He said, do to others what you would have them do to you. Do to others what you would have them do to you. That is an amazing statement. You say, why? I'm glad you're here today because I'm going to tell you. It's this. You have an encyclopedia within you of what they need. What do you need? What do you want? What scares you? What keeps you awake? What do you wish someone would do for you? Do that for other people. The hunger is there because God's going to fill it in your life. But the other is this. The hunger is there so you know how other people are hungry. Some people just need you to look at them and listen. They need you to be a Mr. Rogers, right? Just listen. He had a great gift at that, just listening. That's why kids opened up and talked to him so beautifully, because that's what he did. Listen. What do they need? What do you need? That's what they need. If you were in a bad situation with somebody and the relationship wasn't good, what would you want that person to do? Would you want them maybe to write you a note and say, look, I know things aren't good between us right now, but I want you to know something. I'm your friend, and that's never going to change. You think they would want that? Listen, I know we can't get past this right now. Someday we will. Don't let go. Don't discard my number or whatever. I mean, what do you need? Give that away. The Bible says, given it will be given to you. I know that's talking about like money in that situation, but I think it's about everything. What do you need? Give it away. You're called to do it. People are everything. We're going to take them with us. You're called to do it. You've been given an infusion. You've been given an example, and you've been given this incredible encyclopedia. Isn't that interesting? I read a story of a very interesting lady, very wealthy, lived in a very wealthy part of Boston. And there was this old guy on the street that was just kind, and he was retired, and at a newsstand, there's this wealthy lady, struck up a conversation with her, and somehow, in public, without a proper introduction, brought up Jesus to her. She was puzzled by that. She went home that night. She and her husband had dinner that night, sitting in the drawing room, husband reading his newspaper. She said, honey, the strangest thing happened to me today. Puts his newspaper down. I said, what happened? He said, this man at the newsstand just started talking to me in public without a proper introduction about Jesus. He said, why didn't you tell him to mind his own business? She said, you know, it really seemed like it was his business. Everybody wants you to love them. Everybody. Now listen, I'm going to say, sometimes things are very difficult and you have to withdraw. Sometimes things are abusive and you can't be there. Don't take what I'm saying to you too far today. Make sure it's healthy and right and good choices. But it's no excuse for not loving people. Jesus lives within you. Let him out. Let's stand together to pray. Come on. Lord, thanks for today. Thanks for your word. Thank you for our singing and all of our musicians and the sweet folks. Thanks for, of course, Carol playing. Thank you for her, Lord. Lord, you know us. You know our tendencies. You know what, you know, keeps us going the wrong way. We ask, would you deal with this stuff in us? You know the anger. You know the desertion issues. You know the lust that sidetracks us. You know all this stuff. Lord, help your people. We ask that you would work your character out into all of our lives, that we'd live a life that would honor you, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.